Welcome to What is Going Om for New Thought from the Edge of Om. Each week on Om Time's flagship radio show, veteran broadcaster, author, and media consultant Sandy Sedgbeer conducts thought-provoking interviews with inspirational authors, artists, musicians, scientists, speakers, and filmmakers who are working at the point where spirituality and science meet consciousness at the very edge of Om. Here is your host, Sandy Sedgbeer.
Hello. Reincarnation is a topic which has fascinated people for millennia. Indeed, the very mention of the word, invariably elicits a whole slew of questions like, are past lives real? If so, what is their purpose? Do we have to have them? Or do we have a choice in the matter? Are they mapped out in advance? If so, who's doing the mapping? And what do we do in between them? Do you believe in past lives? Or are you convinced that this existence is all you will have? Either way, stay tuned, because tonight we're going to be delving into this tantalizing topic with popular broadcaster and best-selling author Barry Eaton, whose latest book, Past Lives Unveiled, Discover How Consciousness Moves Between Lives, expands our understanding of reality with compelling research studies on past life regressions conducted by world famous experts in this arena, as well as some of Barry Eaton's own personal experiences. Barry Eaton, welcome. It's good to have you back on the show.
Oh, great, Sandy. Lovely to be here.
Barry, your book, Past Lives Unveiled, is the third book in a trilogy which began with Afterlife in 2011 and then No Goodbyes. Before we get stuck into your research and your personal adventures with the afterlife and reincarnation, tell us a little bit about your own journey from radio and TV presenter and newsreader with the Australian Broadcasting Corporation to producer and presenter of the highly popular internet radio program and podcast radio out there.
Well, the journey began a long time ago, Sandy. It actually started when I dropped out of law at university or college, as they have in the States, because it just wasn't working and I knew I had to do something else. So I went and studied acting, actually, and was offered, after my graduation, I was offered a six-month tour in a Shakespearean company or a two-year contract in radio and television. So being somebody who thought, well, I've done some stage training, I'll go and work in radio and television. I did that, and I stayed there. I've still done a few acting roles here and there, a few stage shows, films and TV shows and things like that, but I'm glad I went into radio and television because it gave me a far broader look at broadcasting. Plus, it gave me a continuity of employment, I think is about the best way of saying it. As actors might think that it's a glamorous life, but a lot of them don't get paid very often, especially here in Australia. There's about 98% out of work at all one time. So my career sort of developed over the broadcasting. I started off as a young man doing radio programs on music and things like that, and then gradually developed into talk programs, interviews, news reading. I was a sports anchor. I did the whole gamut. And then finally, in the 80s, I was doing callback programs on radio. And I used to have a couple of guests who came in on regular basis. One talked about numerology, and the other talked about astrology, and then a psychic contacted me. So these three guests proved so popular. Every time they came on, there was a massive avalanche of calls on the network there. So I thought, oh, no, this is interesting. So I started to explore it a lot more for myself. And then at the end of the 80s, I went through another divorce, and that's guaranteed to make you look at your life and change things around. So all of a sudden, out of the blue, I had this intuitive message to study astrology, which shocked the life out of shocked the pants off the guy who was doing astrology on the radio with me. So I went and studied astrology and then suddenly found I had a natural bent for doing the tarot. And that sort of developed from there. And through the 90s, I was still on radio, and by this stage, doing many different things, video production, radio programming, all sorts of things like that, but also working as a psychic and doing astrology work. So it was my life was starting to split into two. So after the divorce, I thought, I've got to go a whole new direction here. So I did. And it just worked from there, Sandy. And I know that the work that I've been doing ever since in the area of I do personal consultations for people involving astrology, and now I've graduated and I do medium work as well, psychic work, and now past life work. So that's gradually taken over my life. I still do the odd documentary narration or the odd commercial voice or something like that, but I find more and more now my life has gone down the spiritual path that I was destined to go on. But all that early training and working on radio and on TV gave me the ability to talk, as you can hear now, get me going and I can go forever. And it gave me that ability to communicate with an audience that I couldn't see at first, but now I just love connecting with live audiences, not only on radio and TV, but also I give a lot of talks. I just love doing that. Even though it might only be 8 or 10 or 12 people, I still just love having that personal contact. So all that communication training has really, I believe, just been the early part of what was my real purpose in life, which is what I'm doing now.
Yeah, isn't it interesting when we look back and we find all those little threads that come together that, you know, we don't understand at the time, but only ever in retrospect. So,
well, we don't always have to have reach our purpose in life in the very early stages. And for many of us, it's not until much later in our life. I know you understand astrology the same as me. And around about those late 50s, when we have a second Saturn return, that can be when we really, really find our true destination in life.
I know. And, you know, Saturn return comes somewhere, you know, around about 58 years old for many people. It's a shame, isn't it? You've got to wait that half of your life before you find what you're really here for.
Well, not everybody, but it certainly was for me, probably, yeah.
Well, yeah, I think it was a little bit earlier than that for me, but yeah, it's certainly taken a long time to really pull all those threads together and settle in to the mission, so to speak. But let's talk about Past Life Unveiled. I mean, it features case studies from a fascinating past life project by the late Dr. Michael Newton, who was an eminent psychologist and past life expert. He wrote the seminal books Journey of Souls and Destiny of Souls. What was so important about his case studies that you had to include them in this book?
Well, Michael, and I never met the man personally, but I was actually given the honor of doing a radio tribute program for him when he passed in 2016. So I feel as if I know at least part of him and maybe have connected in spirit, I don't know. But I connected with the person who was the president of the Michael Newton Institute, Peter Smith, who I worked with on this book of mine, Past Lives Unveiled. And Pete wrote the introduction and did a lot of regressions with me and also cleared the way for the case studies that you talked about. But Michael Newton, as a past life and life between life researcher, was brilliant. Not only a qualified psychologist who started off like most of us as a bit of a skeptic and then little by little was totally convinced by life as it unfolded, studied over 8,000 cases. So we're not talking about a couple of random little past life regressions here. We're talking about 8,000 case studies. Now, there's gone on through the Institute to be thousands more. And when you correlate all this information, you find that it's not just some kind of weird woo-woo kind of stuff that people can dismiss and say, oh, that's just a load of old rubbish. There is just incontrovertible evidence of past lives that we all lead more than one life. And Michael Newton was the pioneer, I believe, in this kind of study. I mean, we've had a lot of other people, Raymond Moody, so many other people who've written books about past lives, done a lot of case studies. Professor Ian Stevenson did a lot with children. But Michael Newton, to me, is the iconic researcher into past lives. So that's why I was so thrilled to be able to include his work or part of his work in my book, and also to associate myself now with the Newton Institute, of which I'm now a member.
Now, in this book, you actually publish a couple of cases that have never been published in book form before. Why weren't they published before, and what's so special about these cases?
Well, it's interesting, Sandy. Pete Smith and I, as I said, Pete was the, well, he's now the outgoing president of the Michael Newton Institute, but at the time we were doing the research and everything like that, Pete told me about these two cases that Michael had done earlier in his work and sort of put the case studies away and forgotten about them. And when he got them out and was talking to Pete about them, he said, oh, yeah, people wouldn't be interested in this. He said, you're joking, said Peter Smith. Of course they would be. I said, oh, do you think so? So anyway, time went on, and then Michael passed, as I said, in 2016. And Pete, working with the other board members of the Institute and Michael's wife, decided that they were able to release a couple of various things like this. And I was given access to them. And I was absolutely delighted because they've been released to members of the Institute in their internal newsletter, which is not released to the public. But I was given permission to be able to include them in my book, Past Lives Unveiled, to be able to quote the full case studies. And I did it. I didn't change any words around. I just recreated those files as Michael Newton compiled them and put them into his case study files. So it was a huge honour and quite an amazing couple of... I mean, I can't go into the full details on air because they are quite long and quite detailed. But essentially what it is, Michael regressed two sisters, unbeknown to each other. He did one and then he regressed the other. And neither of them knew the other sister was being regressed. And I said to Peter, well, hang on, how did he do that? He said, well, for a start, Michael Newton would never, ever do anything. He was the most amazing man, but he was just so honest that he would never, ever try and do anything that would be certainly off the boards, as were. So the two sisters independently went back to a life in the Stone Age times over 30,000 years ago. Quite amazing. And they both went back and they shared this life, not as sisters, but in this instance as brother and sister, in the Stone Age tribe that were living in caves. We're not quite sure where the caves were, but they were near a river. And each independently gave names, gave details of life that were so matching, but yet complemented each other, added more details, more facts, more observations than the other one did. So putting the two of them together gave a wonderful insight into life in those days, which was pretty basic, let me tell you. So it makes fascinating reading.
Oh, yeah, I'm certain that getting two people who don't know about one another, both coming up with the same story, is pretty convincing. Yeah, I can understand how that would blow your socks off. You mentioned that you were hypnotically regressed by Peter Smith, and you share some of your stories in the book, but apparently, you had an unexpected off-world experience while in regression with him. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, well, I was talking to Pete about this because I wanted, in my research, to go beyond just the obvious case studies. There have been a lot of books written about past lives and reincarnation, and they all include case studies, as indeed I do in my book as well, but I wanted to go beyond that and put some fresh, newer material in. I wanted a different approach. So when I started working with Pete, he is now, or has now, moved on from his past life and life between life work, and he is now running a whole program called Quantum Consciousness, and I've interviewed him a couple of times on my radio program, Radio Out There. And we've talked about the whole area of, obviously, the quantum side of existence. And, you know, quantum research has been around for a long time now, so there's nothing new about this. But when you start to look at it in the areas of consciousness, you realize that life is more than just stuck on this planet. That I think any of us who've done any kind of research or whatever into life on other worlds, we're pretty much convinced that we are certainly not the only life form in this or any other universe. I mean, how arrogant to think that in the first place. So it's not unsurprising that we as human beings or life forms on this planet could well have had lives on other planets. And when I put this to Peter, he told me that of all the regressions, and he's done hundreds of regressions, and he said just about every single person has gone back independently and voluntarily within their regression to a life on another world. He doesn't even have to trigger this response. It happens. So basically, the majority of us have all had lives on other worlds as part of our soul lineage. Understanding, of course, that we're not just human forms. That's just a vehicle for us to have a human experience. We are essentially energy forms, a soul wrapped in a spirit, attaching itself to a human body as a vehicle for our earthly experiences. So it makes sense that we would have experiences on other worlds so that we are able to explore the entire existence, really, as part of our soul's journey, which may be in linear time, extending over, well, who knows how long, thousands, maybe even hundreds of thousands of years.
Well, we're going to go to a break now, Barry, but after we come back, I'd like you to tell me a little bit about the other world that you found yourself on. You're listening to What Is Going On. I'm Sandy Sedgespear. My guest today is broadcaster and best-selling author Barry Eaton, and we're talking about his latest book, Past Lives Unveiled. Still to come, old souls, new souls, parallel lives, past lives on other worlds and in other dimensions, and more after this break.
The future of internet radio is here. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
I'm Fidel Nshombo. I was born in a city called Bukavu in the Congo.
We were a loving family. And then, boom, everything that I had disappeared in a single day.
People think that when you are a refugee and they resettle you to America and all your problems are done, they don't understand that that's the beginning of everything.
I was not born a refugee. I was made one.
It's time we welcome refugee families with open arms. Learn more at EmbraceRefugees.org, brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back. Barry Eaton, tell us about this off-world experience. What world were you on?
This the interesting thing, isn't it? I wish I knew which world I was on. But the whole area of parallel lives and lives in other dimensions and on other worlds was so fascinating when I got into this whole area. I firmly believed as I was doing my initial research that, oh, no, I've never led a life on another world. I even wrote that in my book. In the early stages, I was never even thought about it. So, as I mentioned, Pete Smith did several regressions with me, and I've had, this is only some of the regressions I've had over my three books that I've written, but Pete did three regressions with me. I went back to one life as in ancient Greece, another life in the US Civil War, and then in the third life, all of a sudden, I was just taken out there. And Pete and I had been talking about his other case studies where people had found themselves on other worlds, one of whom was on a water world, and she had found herself as this sort of giant floating jellyfish-type creature living in absolute peace and harmony. And that indeed is a fascinating case study. So we'd been talking about this, and then I went into this regression. So whether or not there was some kind of subconscious link that I needed to do, because, as you know, the subconscious mind represents something like 90 to 95% of our storehouse of energy and memories. Anyway, I went out there, and I found myself have you ever been regressed, Sandy?
I have. A couple of times, yeah.
Yeah, well, you know what it's like. You sort of... Pete is able to take me down into a very deep sort of state, and I was able to sort of disappear into these lives as an observer on some, or in what other cases are known as revivification, where I was actually the person. And I was inside that life. So there are two different kinds of basic kinds of regression. In this instance, I found myself not observing, but being part of, it was like being in as a giant bird flying, and it was a strange sensation. I was free. Well, like one of those dreams that you have when you're floating free and having this wonderful time. Well, I was. And at first, you know, I guess I was thinking, well, is this a dream? But then the reality of it all came through, because it was actually, whether it was inside some kind of craft or whatever, but we were floating over this world, and the world was very, it was dreadful. It was desert. It was wasteland. And all of a sudden, this city emerged. And it was, if you've ever flown over the Nile in Egypt, where you have this lovely Nile river flowing, the green on either side, and then almost like a knife stops at the edge, and then it's suddenly desert. That's what this reminded me of, that the desert stopped and the city started, and there was a little bit of a verdant thing around the city. But as we went in, to cut a long story pretty short here, as we went in and I identified, this city was dead. There was nobody there, no people, no life, nothing. But it was a highly technical city. You could see that, you could feel it. And then after we'd done this, Pete was able to pull me out of this aspect and connect with this other energy, this other life form. And the life form gave its name as Lida, L-I-D-A. And then Lida was able to come through, and we established that there was a link between Lida and myself. And I guess in subsequent times I've come to feel that, yes, an aspect of me or an aspect of Lida are one and the same thing. But Lida was saying, he was, or she, we're never quite sure whether it was a he or a she, was part of a group who were exploring various parts of the universe. They were explorers, sending information back, because their home planet was in the process of destroying itself. And the whole area was so technically advanced that people were losing the love. There was no love at all. And there was certainly no love on this world that we were looking at, because Lida was able to access the memories, the energy, or whatever it was, and worked out that this was the whole area that had caused the death, the destruction of the world. Much the same as Atlantis. It had just gone far too overboard with the technicalities of things, and the humanity side of things was missing. And Lida was out there trying to, as one of a group, send information back so that they could learn on their planet to avert this kind of disaster. So when P Peter was able to then link the consciousness of both Leda and myself. Leda was able to then be incorporated through his instruction. He's a wonderful, wonderful regressor, by the way. He was able to link the two of our consciousness so that we could speak to each other. And Leda was then able to tune in through me onto this world. And then suddenly, he'd never heard of Earth before. I'd never heard of Earth before, didn't know anything about it, but then realized that this could well be another area of research in the future. So it was a fascinating thing for me to come back, because I don't remember most of it, but it was all recorded. And that's the funny thing about it. You've been regressed, Sandy, you know, that there are things that you do remember. You get snatches of information here and there, and I do remember the being in that craft, or feeling like that bird floating over the city. I remember that, but I don't remember a lot of the details. But when it was all recorded and I listened back to it later, I was quite staggered at the information that was coming through. And I've written it down verbatim from my regression, as I have done my other regressions as well, so that people can work out for themselves their own reactions, their own feelings to my experiences. And that was the purpose of this whole thing. But I then knew that I had had some kind of experience. It wasn't as if I was living on another world, but I'd had an out-of-world, out-of-body experience, which I found quite amazing, because something like this would never, ever have occurred to my conscious mind before I went on this journey.
Well, listening to you relate that story makes me wonder, are we having past life experiences when we're in regression, or are we kind of slipping into another dimension, into a parallel reality, and experiencing a parallel life? I mean, how do we know that it's past?
Well, this is the whole thing with quantum consciousness, and it's something that I really can't get my head around. But the quantum thing takes us out of linear time, because linear time is purely a third-dimensional reality. So once we move beyond our third-dimensional thought waves and thought processes, then we can look at the whole area of time and space, and we move beyond that. So that, yes, quantum consciousness and quantum studies say that, yes, we can have different experiences at the same time. Now, I can understand how quantum can come up with this. I'm not a physicist, but it still does my head in, because we've been raised and I still think and act and live in third dimensional reality and linear time. But it makes sense, because then when you start to look at the whole superstring theory, for instance, where they talk about 10 different dimensions of reality and even the possibility of an 11th, and according to superstring theory, the fifth and sixth dimensions allow for the existence of other possible worlds that we're unable to see from our own third-dimensional aspect. And they all have the potential of being inhabited by life forms other than our own third-dimensional human body. So there's a lot of speculation about many different dimensions as part of the multiverse, anywhere up to 26 in existence, actually. But certainly, when we move through this superstring theory, which has been around for a long time now, there's nothing new about this, it does open up whole new areas of thought, of research, and of potential life. Because you've got to look at the purpose of life, I believe, and that's what I've attempted to do with Past Lives Unveiled. And it's not just a matter of coming here, as the skeptics would have us believe, and living a life, and then suddenly at the end of it all, the switch goes off, you disappear into blackness, it's all over. What's the point of all of that? To me, that is, I don't know, so negative. What's the point of life unless we are doing something, learning, contributing, growing, evolving? That, to me, makes far more sense, that as an energy form, a soul energy, we are here to experience all there is and then move on into other areas, other dimensions, other worlds, other realms. And life is so vast. And other worlds are coming here. Hence, you know, we've got so many billion people on the planet all the time. That's where they're coming from other areas of existence. So it's a fascinating area, Sandy. I mean, we could go on and talk about this forever. But I know in the context of our radio program, we've got to keep it within certain bounds.
Yes. There are many, many questions that people have about this. I mean, it is one of those topics that, you know, just your mind spirals out of control at the end of it. But let's just take a little trip through some of the most commonly asked questions. And, you know, one of them is, do we have to have them? Do we have a choice in the matter? Can we say, no, don't want to do that one? You know, I'll wait, maybe another one in the future.
Well, then you've got to take this back to the basics, that after each life, we go back to what is often referred to, commonly referred to as the afterlife, the world of spirit, heaven, paradise, whatever you want to call it. And there are many, many different levels of existence in this area of the afterlife. And it depends on the evolution of our soul as to where we go. And we don't just sort of disappear out of one life and then bang, immediately reborn into something else. What would be the, logically, what would be the point of that? We would have no time to ruminate, no time to go back over what we've done, we've learned, and then prepare for our next life. That, to me, is far more logical. So in my own research, in Michael Newton's research, and in many other researchers, we then go back into the afterlife and we have a life between life. Time, and there is no earthly measure that we can have on this. It doesn't matter whether we think it might be 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years of earth time, because time doesn't exist outside, as I said, our third dimensional reality. But there still has to be some kind of break in between. Now, in that time, from what I understand, and what I've been told, is that we're working with our guides, we're working with elders on the other side, and it's not just sort of come here, have a bit of a time, work out what we're doing, have a quick session, like the end of a football game or something, and then go in for the next game. There's a lot more to it, and that's what we do. In between time, as I've mentioned in my books Afterlife and No Goodbyes, we have many activities. And we're still learning as part of that, but we are still able to grow and evolve as a soul. So when we come back, it's worked out with other people over there. As I said, the guides, the elders, and we are usually either instructed or working with, and we agree to come back in certain areas with certain people to go on to the next phase of our life. Now, there's no areas of choice here. Oh, I'd like one of those for my parents, and I'd like to live in luxury in Hollywood, and I'd like to be a film star. There's none of that sort of thing. It's all worked out according to the individual. And because we've got 7 billion people in the world at the moment, everybody has their own unique story. So it's very difficult to generalize. Can we stay? Can we come back? Do we choose our time? I think there are many, many different possibilities. And for me to generalize and say, this is how it works, I can't remember from my last time over there exactly how it works for everybody. I haven't got that far in my research. When I go back at the end of this lifetime, I certainly hope with the work I've done here now, I will be able to move more and do a bit more research into that so that I can move on to that phase of my life, whether it's over here or on another world or whatever.
I think that's the bit that gets most people is, you know, why don't we remember them? Why can't we remember them? It would be so useful if we could. But one thing people
often
use... Well,
no, it wouldn't, Sandy. It wouldn't be useful at all. Can you imagine coming...
Well, it would for those of us that are curious and those of us that like research.
Yeah. But if you came back... And that's why we're talking about dropping the veil. If you came back and just remembered everything and it all crowded into your mind at some stage, most inconvenient times of the lot, how would you be? I've had several lives, quite a few lives as a warrior, as a soldier. Can you imagine some of the dreadful things that have happened in war that suddenly would crowd into my life at the most inopportune moment? I mean, I would go absolutely mental, or even more mental than I am.
Well... Yes, I do get that point, but I still think that for those of us who have a bit of the scientist within us, it's a frustration that we can't.
But we can. We do it through regression. We access the subconscious. That's where our memories are stored. As I said, in that 90 to 95% of our mind, the subconscious mind, we've got the forgotten memory, the hidden memory of past lives, the immortal memory, the collective memory of humankind. It's a storehouse of information. It's there, and we can do it. People like Michael Newton and Peter Smith and so many others have accessed this. We can do it. We just can't necessarily do it. We can get hints and all sorts of things with deja vu, but to be able to go into it in detail to work out how it can benefit us, we've got to do this in a very conscious sort of a way, and that's by regression.
Do you think it does benefit people? I mean, in your research, have you found, you know, people who have been regressed who said that, that, you know, their lives are better for having been regressed?
This all depends on the individual. But as I've said in my own research and in all my talks, you don't go back. This is not a Hollywood time tunnel. It's not a fun experience. Oh, I wonder what I was in a previous life. I'll go back and see if I was actually, you know, Cleopatra's barge boy, or whether I, you know, marched with Julius Caesar or whatever. No, it's not that. You're going back into past lives to access information that can help you in this life. Maybe we can talk about that more, because I know you've got a break coming up. But maybe we can talk about that in more detail, because, yes, there is this incredible potential, and I've experienced it myself directly, even in the last month or two, of how past life access can really, really help understand and help even remove physical and emotional barriers that we've created or brought back with us in this lifetime.
Well, let's go to the break, and when we come back, we'll continue right there. You're listening to What Is Going On. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, and I'm speaking with broadcaster and best-selling author Barry Eaton about his latest book, Past Lives Unveiled. We'll be back with more from Barry Eaton on Past Lives after the break.
Edge of Conscious Radio, Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. Om Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single Om Times endeavor. Host your show with Om Times Radio Network.
Hello, I'm Lisa Barry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living, a chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
Imagine being fired because of who you love. Imagine being denied medical treatment because of who you marry. Imagine being evicted because of who you are. Millions of Americans don't have to imagine this. They have to live it. Because in 31 states, it's legal to discriminate against LGBT people. Get the facts at beyondido.org. Brought to you by the Gill Foundation and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. Barry Eaton, tell us about some of the cases, as we were discussing before, where you've actually witnessed benefits or heard about benefits of people having past life regression.
There are many of these cases, Sandy, where people have brought back karma from past lives, and that's one of the reasons we do come back, is to clear past karma for ourselves, and also to help other people, our members of our soul family and extended soul families, to help them clear some of their karma. We're all working together in this instance, and I can speak personally of a couple of cases that I went back to a particular lifetime as a young philosopher in ancient Greece, back in the times, for instance, when the Romans were occupying Greece, and I was sort of drafted into the Roman army because at that particular stage they were going to quell some riots with some of the Greek tribespeople in the hills in and around Sparta, funnily enough. And I was taken down there because I was able to communicate with both peoples and everything like that. I was educated, a man of some kind of position. And at the end of that, the whole thing turned out to be absolutely chaotic because of the fact that they were all the Greek people were massacred by the Romans, who weren't going to stand for any kind of uprising at all. So when they were attacked, the Romans just turned around and got stuck into them and killed everybody, which is, I guess, what Roman armies used to do in those days. So at the end of all of this, listening back onto the tape on this, I was wondering why I went back in this particular lifetime. How is it going to benefit me? And Peter Smith, who did the regression, at the end of this, connected me with my soul energy. Now, just to explain very briefly, we don't bring all of our soul energy back in any one lifetime. And we might only bring 60, 70%. Sometimes people bring a bit less, and that can impact on health, actually, funnily enough. But there's always part of ourself that is left in the world of spirit. We call it the oversoul, our higher self, whatever you like. But Peter was able to connect with my soul, and I've got all this on recording, and I didn't know any of this until after I came out of this regression. And if I can just quote from the book here, he urged my soul to go deeper and across the lineage of every lifetime I've lived and asked why it was important for me to see this particular lifetime. And my answer is to help me and maybe get the word out as well. And my reply was to respect each other, to understand that because we have a way of life that is not necessarily the best or the only way of life, there are many cultures, many belief systems, histories, attitudes, behavioral patterns. There is not one common behavior pattern. And that is what humanity is, a huge variety, and we need to learn to respect this. I need to learn to respect this. And Pete then said, help me understand the message that needs to be offered to humanity as a result of this discovery. And my answer was, humanity is like a diamond. It has many facets, but each one of these facets makes up the whole. Humanity is not one single facet. It's just part of a network, a tapestry. And we're all part of each facet. There's a little bit of us represented everywhere. We've got no right to look down on another part of the world, another race, any other belief system. We're all part of this diamond. And we may well have been an integral part of all of these facets at some stage. Now, to me, that was a vital message, because the division in the world at the moment and the hatred that's going on from one race to another, from one religion to another, from one belief system, from one whatever, it's really tearing this world apart. So my soul, and I'm sure I'm not the only one getting this message. I'm not saying that, you know, I'm some really special person here. I'm one of many messengers, I feel, that this message has to be got out. My soul, which is being worked at or not controlled, but certainly influenced, that's the word I'm looking for, influenced by my guides and all the people I'm working with in spirit, wanted me to understand why my soul took me back to that particular lifetime. And I think that message, Sandy, is not only healing for me, because I've got some messages there, you know, because I'm just as guilty as anybody else to occasionally say, well, what are these stupid people doing? What are they? I don't believe what they're believing. But they've got a right to do that. And I was given a bloody good lesson as to why I need to pick up my game and maybe pass that on. And if it helps a few other people, great, there's a healing in that. So that's one instance of how healing can happen. Healing doesn't always have to be emotional or physical. There can be many, many different ways of healing, as I'm sure you already know.
One thing people often use to discredit the idea of reincarnation is that there are multiple cases of people claiming to have been the same famous person in a previous life. But you say that in your experience and that of both Michael Newton and Peter Smith, it's pretty rare to find anyone who's, you know, experienced a famous life, although there was one case in your book of the man who walked with Jesus. Would you share that story with us?
Yeah, sure. This was a guy called John Davis that I interviewed on my radio program many years ago now, and a book was written about him called John of Old, John of New. And to cut a long story short once again here, because these case studies go on for quite a few pages, and they're really worthwhile investigating. John, after many rejections of the fact that psychics would run up to him in various places and say to him, you walked with Jesus, you were the apostle John, the disciple John. And he said, no, a load of rubbish. Because he was going around with these medieval fairs, and he was doing sword fighting exhibitions and things like this. But anyway, after a certain series of incidents, he then came to believe that yes, he was the apostle John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Okay, so at that stage, various things were happening, and he still questioned all this, didn't really believe it. Somewhere along the line, he had all this proof and everything like that. But there have been a couple of other people who have had this as well. And the finding that I've come up to, and John agrees with this, is that an aspect of him was part of the disciple John. So that he was actually part of it. He's brought back part of that energy. Because we are energy, and energy can be split, soul energy can be split, and advanced souls move in many different areas. Advanced masters can be in thousands of different locations simultaneously. So that's one of those very unusual things. But John never, ever really felt that he was just the direct incarnation, but an aspect of him was. And I think that's where what happens with a lot of people. I've never come across anybody who has been able to prove, nor have I spoken to any of my other fellow, Peter Ramster in Australia, wonderful psychologist, man who's probably the best known past life expert in Australia. He never ever had one single person. Some people believe that they were, and somebody I know says that she was a pope in one life and a queen in another. You know, from what I understand from the person who regressed it, that just isn't true. So I think there's a lot of this. I was a famous person in another life, and that's where the skeptics have a field day. So it's something really to be treated very, very sort of lightly, I think.
And that's where I think it can become less than beneficial, because, you know, there's the danger there that people who believe that, believe they've experienced that, could become so enamoured of the past life, you know, which might sound more glamorous than the present life, that they don't want to engage in the present one.
No, but that, where is that coming from? Is that just coming from their own dreams,
yeah,
their own
exactly.
Reading, their own fantasy, their own imagination? It's certainly not coming from their deep soul subconscious area. It's just something, and who knows? I don't wish to say that they might have mental problems, but it's certainly something that a lot of people have conditions that can be dangerous, and that could be just another of them. It's something that I'm very leery of, let me put it that way.
Yeah. Now, Norman Shealy, you write about the strange reincarnation of Norm Shealy. And for those who may not know, he's a well-known medical doctor, a neurosurgeon, professor of energy medicine, and a pioneer in holistic medicine. Tell us Norm's story.
Well, Norm is a fantastic man. I had the privilege of interviewing him last year on my radio program. And for those people who know Carolyn Mace, some people call it Mice, M-Y-S-S, but it's actually pronounced, as you know, Carolyn Mace. Carolyn's a medical intuitive, and she always worked with Norm Shealy. Now, as you said, Norm was a former neurosurgeon. He invented the TENS machine. A lot of people don't know that. And he is a fantastic guy, now working in Missouri somewhere, runs a wellness center, and still in the late 80s doing fantastic work. Norm, at one stage, went along to a lecture in his younger days, and the lecturer was sort of getting a bit boring, and he was just about ready to either go to sleep or walk out, when the lecturer started talking about this 19th century doctor, Dr. John Elliotson. And all of a sudden, Norm, who was a total skeptic up to this stage, total skeptic about past lives or anything like this, suddenly had this flash of intuition. That was me. I'm Dr. John Elliotson. He couldn't believe it. So he checked a bit out and was absolutely intrigued. Immediately got onto a plane, well, not straight out of the conference, I suppose, but shortly after anyway, got on a plane, went to London to investigate this whole story of Dr. John Elliotson. He was so fascinated and convinced that he went over there, and he was in a taxi from the airport going to a particular address, when all of a sudden he said to the taxi driver, no. And intuitively he was told, turn down this street to the right. He went down there, told the taxi driver to stop at a building, got out of the building, walked into it, and found that this is where John Elliotson practiced as a surgeon, as a physician also, in the 19th century. His research then went on to show that, I've got a picture in my book, that the physical resemblance between the two of them at around about the same age is awe-inspiring. They could be brothers. They could almost be twins. They look so much alike. Norm found out that John Elliotson had created as many innovations as he did. Elliotson was the first one to bring a stethoscope, for instance, into Britain. Stethoscopes were used in France at the time, but they weren't in Britain. And he then went on to create various other medical breakthroughs. Now, Norm, in this lifetime, has worked in pain management, in neurosurgery and whatever, realized that some of the work that Elliotson had done was either incomplete or times had moved on and he needed to be updated. So he's then turned around in this lifetime, picked up the reins from where he left them in the 19th century, and he's living the life of a kind of John Elliotson part two, and now as Norm Shealy. And it's an amazing story. It's absolutely incredible. Mm. And he's not the only one. There's another case in my book as well. Tom Smith found out that he was a jazz musician back in the Chicago jazz era days. So these are two instances that I talk about where people have picked up from past lives and gone on, and it's an incomplete situation. Now, this is pretty rare, as you can imagine, but they're fascinating cases, Sandy.
Absolutely fascinating. And when they come from people like Norm, you know, with his credibility, they become all the more credible themselves. Yeah. Barry, we're almost out of time. I've got two quick questions for you. One is, you said that living multiple lives over countless years provides us with the opportunity to have as many experiences as needed to understand ourselves and our place in the universe. So what happens when we've had as many as we needed? Where do we go and what do we do?
That's the real big question, isn't it? From what I understand, because we are a chip off the old block, as it were, we're part of the original soul of the creator,
source,
or the creator energy, then from what I understand, this is when we go on to much higher life in other dimensions. We can go into energy lifetimes, lifetimes as pure light, and eventually even go back and rejoin that soul of the creator. It's a long, long journey, though, Sandy, and I can't speak because I'm nowhere near that particular stage in my lifetime. But it's a fascinating thought, and I'd love to know more myself.
Okay, and finally, Afterlife, Uncovering the Secrets of Life After Death, No Goodbyes, Insights from the Heaven World, and now Past Lives Unveiled. This trilogy of yours on life beyond life, is it finished with Past Lives Unveiled, or is there more to come?
I keep asking myself the same question. I keep asking my guides the same question, and I can't get an answer. So whether or not, I mean, trilogy is a trilogy as far as I'm concerned. I'd be quite happy to move on to other things, but you never know what the universe has in store. And I thought I was finished after Afterlife, and I've gone on to write two more books. So I don't know, Sandy. I wish I could answer that question for you. I wish I could answer it for myself.
When you find out, let me know. Barry Eaton, thank you for joining us today.
Sandy, thank you. It's been
Thanks,
a delight
Barry.
Talking to you once again.
You too. Past Lives Unveiled, Discover How Consciousness Moves Between Lives by Barry Eaton is published by Rockpool Publishing. For more information about Barry Eaton's book, visit BarryEaton, EATON.com. And you can also listen
no,
to Sandy, Barry's...
No, .com.
It's not .com.
I'm not on BarryEaton.com. No, RadioOutThere.com. I don't know where that address came. That's not me. It's RadioOutThere.com.
Okay. I think I saw one of your books there, Barry, BarryEaton.com, because I checked it.
No, I don't.
And, of course, there is RadioOutThere.com. Okay, well, certainly they can check you out at RadioOutThere.com. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer. Thanks for joining me today, and I look forward to being with you at the same time next week. Till then, it's goodbye from me.